Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, who thankfully produce the fruits of a faith that is built on Christ, as we live in our time of grace. There's one thing I've learned from being a student, from being an employee, as being a pastor, it is the power that a deadline has. There's that one project, that one homework item that you know has to get done, but you keep putting it off and off and off. You keep procrastinating, and it's never going to get done until there is a deadline, a time limit. I remember when I was taking standardized tests to get into different, to see which colleges I would qualify for. I would always be one of that test taker who would take his time on every single question. Make sure all the bubbles are filled in, the exact amount, they're all equal to each other, double check everything. And I was so thankful that the teacher would give us a time limit. 30 more minutes and we're going to be collecting everything. And that was when I knew I had to get the rest of the test done. For students know as well, that homework is due when you get at the start of class, not whenever you feel like it. When you're on break at work, how it's only 30 minutes long, you have to get in your entire lunch and your social time within that moment. You can't go as long as you want. Or as a pastor nowadays, that the sermon and the Bible study needs to be done by Sunday morning at the absolute latest. It's amazing what a time limit can force you to do. Set your priorities right. What things you can accomplish when you put your mind to it. In our verses that we're looking at from the Gospel of Matthew, we see a deadline that God has for Christians. A time limit for us to produce the fruits of faith that is built on Christ. God's patience is great, but it's not infinite. As we see with the parable of the tenant farmers, that when that patience runs out, that there is a price to pay for it. But there are many awesome and wonderful blessings for those who produce faith, produce fruits of faith in a timely manner. We read the parable just a few minutes ago in our worship service, but I'm willing to guess that the parable of the tenant farmers wasn't one of those stories you may have studied in Sunday school. It's not a bright and happy story that everyone ends up happily ever after. It's a rather strong message that Jesus teaches. This earthly message where he speaks to the religious leaders of his time to give them this heavenly message to produce the fruits of faith in a timely manner. I'm going to retell the parable, but as I retell, I'm going to give the historical explanation of what all the pieces are that Jesus was alluding to, so we can see what exactly he was saying that day, so many years ago. It starts off with God, the landowner, who wanted to plant a beautiful vineyard with a wall, with a wine press, with a watchtower, the whole nine yards. This vineyard is the kingdom of God, where God rules in the hearts of believers through faith in his word. Within this wonderful vineyard, within his kingdom, he invites the tenant farmers to come in and work to produce fruit that he will expect to collect later on. These tenant farmers are the chief priests and the elders of the people that Jesus is talking to. The time came when the vineyard owner came, expecting to receive his portion of fruits from the tenant farmers. But the farmers were not willing to give what was expected of them. The vineyard owner, he sent his servants, messengers of God's word, the priests and the prophets of the Old Testament. And how were they treated? By the Old Testament believers. Not all that great normally. Beaten, stoned, killed. But the vineyard owner, he was patient with his people. He sent more and more servants, more than the first time. And the same thing happened each and every time to the servants. But still his patience had not run out. So he thought, I will send my son one last time. So they reform their ways and produce fruits of faith. And what happened when the Son came? When God's Son came? Nothing changed. Just a matter of days, those chief priests and elders of the people, they would shout, "Crucify him!" in the complex before Pilate. They would kill God's very own Son. Because they wanted to live for themselves instead of living for God. So Jesus, he wraps up this parable by asking the chief priests and the elders of the people what it is that the vineyard owner should do when he comes back from his journey, meets face to face with those tenant farmers. That's how they answer. He, the vineyard owner, will bring those wretches to a wretched end. And he'll rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at the proper time. In case the religious leaders didn't know that they were being targeted, Jesus quotes from Psalm 118. Have you never read the scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. In other words, God's patience was running out for those religious leaders. They had rejected his servants. They had rejected their Savior time and time again. And they were on the verge of losing God's word. The ability to produce fruit of any kind at all. Why is it those spiritual leaders rejected Christ to be the cornerstone of their faith? Why do people today reject Christ to be their Savior? This may be a rather simplistic argument, but to say that we need a Savior means that we need to be saved. A depressing reality check that says that there's something wrong with us. And we can't fix it ourselves. Like the Jews of Jesus' time, we don't like to feel helpless. So when we see God's law and his list of do's and don'ts, instead of it being a call to repentance, which it should be, how often do you and I think something like this? You know that person out there who can't even make it to lunch without offending somebody? If anyone needs a Savior, it is them. Surely not me. When we hear that to receive God's forgiveness, that we need to repent of our sins, to say that we are sorry and trust in his forgiveness, we see yet another stumbling block. Being as difficult to apologize to another person when you are in the wrong, how much harder is it to apologize to the Almighty God, who knows everything you have done, whether you remember it or not, who has all power and is perfect himself? Sin and Satan has so warped our way of thinking that when we hear what our Lord tells us in his Bible, we turn a deaf ear towards it. We'll gladly listen to the cutesy Bible stories that make us feel all warm and fuzzy inside. And those are great. It is God's word. But there's also those stories, like the parable of the tenant farmers, that show us God's hatred for sin. His hatred when you and I fail to produce the fruit that comes comes from faith in Christ. And you know what happens? We find ourselves turning a deaf ear to some of God's word, but a listening ear to others. It's a mindset that is woefully similar to the chief priests and elders of the people. To know what God says, but once it hits here, it gets personal and it gets real, push it away. Do you want a faith that is strong, that is vibrant, that is secure? Then build it on all that God says. Not just the parts that are easy to listen to. For it's all of God's word that points to our Savior, to the cornerstone of our faith, to Christ. The wonderful stories we hear in Sunday school where a Savior has been born to us and there's forgiveness for all. But even stories like the tenant farmers to show us why Jesus had to die on the cross. For sin is a serious thing and God will not stand for it. That's why Jesus had to die for us, for our sins. It's Christ. The cross is the cornerstone of our faith. If our faith is built on anything else or any smaller portion of that, it begins to start getting shaky because its cornerstone is off. Do you know what the significance, the purpose of a cornerstone is in a building? It is the perhaps the most important stone that is laid down, for it determines where the rest of the walls will be, the physical layout of a building, no matter how big or small it is. The cornerstone here for our sanctuary, it is over on that outside pillar out there. And because of its precise placement, the rest of our walls are parallel to the streets. In our front entrance, it looks visually pleasing. It is in place with everything else. The rest of our church complex, it all makes sense because of the cornerstone. If our cornerstone was even at a little bit off, a few degrees, everything else would start to follow it. Before you know it, our offices would be in the street, or our parking lot would be half the size. Who knows what? That's how important a cornerstone is. But just as important as a physical cornerstone is, the cornerstone of our faith, it's even more so. To be built on Christ and what He has done for you and for me. Jesus, who, when He came down from heaven, His sights were set on the cross and He knew what He would have to endure. The rejection of all people. Rejection of His hometown family and friends back in Nazareth. The rejection of people who followed Him until they realized that Jesus wasn't going to give them free food anymore. Rejection of the chief priests and elders who the entire nation of Israel looked forward to for spiritual guidance. Rejection of His apostles. One who betrayed Him and the 11 who ran away from Him. Rejection of God the Father when our sins were upon Him as He was on that cross. This is what our Savior suffered for you and for me. And to be on His way to the cross and on the cross itself that He would receive even more. A nail through each hand and a nail through the feet. To die the death as punishment for sins. If you look at the cross, the cornerstone of your faith, it can be a very moving sight. It may not be pretty to look at. But let that always be what your faith is built on, because it was on that cross that our Savior gave to us, the forgiveness of sins. The peace, knowing that sin has no more terror over us. That the punishment has been paid, so that all there is left from God is His love and mercy for sinners like you and for me. It is indeed, just as Jesus said, and quoting from Psalm 118, that the Lord has done this and it is marvelous in our eyes. Marvelous that God's own Son came to us to be our Savior. Marvelous that that death on the cross means salvation for you and for me and all those who believe. Marvelous that He is the cornerstone of our faith. And a faith that is built on this cornerstone too will be marvelous. For it will produce the fruits of faith as it gives thanks to God. On the front of the worship folder, you see a really nice picture of an orange tree. And I asked our administrative assistant to put it there on purpose because many times the Bible, it describes a Christian's life with an orange tree. If you look at that orange tree on the front of the worship cover, you know that it is a strong, it is a healthy, it is a good orange tree. It has a lot of oranges on it. The oranges are the right color and perhaps most importantly, there are oranges growing on an orange tree. If you started having apples or pears grow on that tree, you would have a lot of problems because they aren't supposed to grow that. Using the illustration how the Bible uses it, the faith that is rooted in the cornerstone that is Christ will naturally produce its own fruits, the fruits of Christian living. Not because it has to or because it needs to be prodded to, but it naturally, out of thanksgiving to God, will produce those wonderful fruits, hopefully as bright and colorful and many as that those oranges are on that one tree there. What are some of these fruits that you and I can produce? Built on the cornerstone, that's Christ. There's a lot of examples. But let's look at our parable to get some ideas for this morning. Remember, what was the fruit of faith that the tenant farmers got in trouble for? God sent His servants, His messengers, His call workers to them. He sent His Son, and they turned them away each and every time. And so, flipping it around, listening to God and His Word. When your alarm goes off on a Sunday morning, don't be sad that you can't sleep in for a morning. But be glad to be with your brothers and sisters in the faith. To grow in faith and knowledge of your Lord as you come to His Word. To praise the Lord with word and song. To go to God's Word each and every day, just as we are to produce fruits each and every day. So you compare your schedule with the church schedule in the back of the worship folder. See if you can make it to one of our Bible studies here or in Vail or in Sarita or the sister churches around the Tucson area. When God sends His servants with His Word, with His precious Word, to honor them. Not just your pastors. You guys do an awesome job honoring me and your other pastors. In no way do I want to say otherwise. But also those who shared God's Word with us that we may not realize how blessed we are to have them. Family members who bring Christ up at home. Sunday school teachers who regularly give up an adult Bible class with one of our pastors to teach children, train up in the way that they should go. Our elders in the church who try to reconnect with members to show that we still care for them, want them to come back and be with us. Look at all the blessings that God has given to you, the bountiful blessings, and give a portion of them back to God in thanksgiving. It can be your offerings. It can be your blue or white collar skills. It can be your own unique personality traits that make you a special gift from God. What have you? These are all different fruits of faith that we can produce. Show our thanks for God and what He has done for us. But don't delay in producing those fruits. Don't confuse God's patience with His forgetfulness. The tenant farmers, they got themselves in trouble. When the owner of the vineyard came expecting the fruits, and they were not willing to share anything. And as punishment, this is what was going to happen to them. As Jesus says, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Historically, this happened within the first few generations after Christ's resurrection. The apostles and early Christians, they had great success witnessing in the Jewish synagogues. But when you look at the Jewish people today, where do you see Christ? Nowhere. God's patience has run out. He's taken the word from them and given it to a people who will produce the fruit that He expects. People like you and me. You and I have not turned our backs on God's word. After all, that's why we're here this morning, to hear what God says and to grow in faith. But as you look back at your life, this past week, past year, whatever, do you find yourself producing the fruits that are expected? If we call ourselves God's children, we need to live according to God's word. Not just by the end of our lives, but each and every day. If you find that your life is lacking in the fruits of faith, give thanks for God's patience. For He gives us more than we deserve. Make use of the time that He has given to reform your ways, to go to Him in repentance and produce these fruits that He is looking for. By first of all, going to the cornerstone of your faith that makes all things possible. The Christ and the cross that He died on. As you build on out from that cornerstone, follow the instructions, the guidance given by God's word, so that you may go in straight paths. By going to His word, honoring those who preach it, teach it, by sharing your blessing with the rest of the body of Christ, that we may be all things to all people. For as God has given us life and salvation, what can we do but show our thanks back by living for Him? It's this faith that is built on Christ and produces fruit in a timely fashion, that can be sure that when the owner of the vineyard comes back, when God Himself comes on the last day to judge the living and the dead, you know what He'll say to you, to me, and every other Christian? Come. Come with me. For your inheritance in heaven is waiting for you. Amen.